Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Good evening, Atlanta. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. The phone number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. 7 days away, and the Democrats are freaking out. President Obama today, criticizing James Comey for the first time, saying that they don't operate on incomplete information. Now, I got to set the stage here for the Obama administration criticism of James Comey, because it's actually really funny. Yesterday, while we were on the air, I mentioned that the Mark Rick in Rich investigation details came out of the FBI because of a FOIA request, and I just ironically happened to come out yesterday, and people were wondering what exactly was going on. Odd timing for that to come out, don't you think? For those of you who don't remember, he's the guy that Bill Clinton pardoned on his last day in office after major campaign contributions from the guy's wife. The man had been in hiding in Switzerland, I believe. He had never actually been put in jail when he should have been for crimes. So today on the internet, you know, I told you this whole week's like April Fool's Day, a giant April Fool's Day for campaigns. Well, someone noted that all of the Vince Foster files have been released by the FBI. They are on an FBI records website. And in fact, it is, hang on a second, I got it right here. Yes, vault.fbi.gov. All of the Vince Foster records are suddenly out there from the FBI. So you got the Mark Rich stuff yesterday. You got the Vince Foster stuff comes out today, huh? Barack Obama finally has enough and says the FBI is operating on incomplete information. Comey should have probably not said anything. And Democrats are in hysterics that the FBI is trying to get rid of Hillary Clinton. The FBI is nursing a vendetta they've held since Bill was in office, and now it's payback and they are after Hillary Clinton. Well, there's a problem, turns out. And I'm glad I actually was talking about this with friends, because I would have believed the story. But it's not true. The Vince Foster information was pushed out earlier today by several Twitter accounts, but the FBI keeps a chronological list on that vault.fbi.gov site of when it released information. The Vince Foster information, it was released in 2011. It wasn't released today. So, you know, you've had Republicans in the last 24 hours. Sean Hannity actually got tripped up on a story from Gateway Pundit. Never believe Gateway Pundit, as far as I'm concerned. Trust but verify if you must. But I just disbelieve unless confirmed by other sources, as far as that website goes. There was the story that Michelle Obama, Elizabeth Warren, and Barack Obama had deleted all references to Hillary Clinton on their Twitter accounts and unfollowed her. It wasn't true. By no means was it true. But Republicans ran with that story yesterday. Democrats today running with the story that the FBI is out to get Hillary Clinton. And it's just, this is the last 7 days of the campaign. People have lost their ever-living minds. They who knows? Hey, by the way, so the Donald Trump tape that the Russians supposedly have didn't come out today, like so many reporters were claiming is happening. So now they've gone to the rape case, which I'm not even taking phone calls on this. He's being sued in New York by a girl. There is a hearing scheduled after the election on what he may or may not have done to a 13-year-old girl. There's another girl who's come forward. And this has been out there for a year. It's been there for a year. And only now is the media paying attention to it because they're starting to lose their minds that Hillary Clinton may actually lose to this guy. They are in complete meltdown. But there's an irony here. You know, the Democrats are upset at the FBI. They're accusing James Comey of trying to shift the election. They're accusing James Comey and the FBI of trying to throw it to Donald Trump. They're claiming that the FBI has been nursing a grudge against the Clintons since Bill Clinton was in the White House, and that they're bristling under the controls of the Department of Justice. And all poor Loretta Lynch has been doing is trying to keep them in charge or keep them in line. But they were perfectly okay with Lois Lerner and the IRS going after Tea Party groups in 2010, right before the election. Democrats didn't have trouble with that. No. That was not political. Nope, wasn't political, according to the Democrats, when the IRS was doing it. It's political when the FBI is doing it, but it was not political when the IRS was targeting Tea Party groups. I mean, confirmed in court cases, confirmed in congressional testimony that the IRS was targeting conservative groups, demanding information from conservative groups such as lists of donors, lists of members, how they raise funds, what they do with their funds, their speech, all sorts of things the IRS had no business going after. None. And the Democrats were perfectly okay with it. The Democrats denied that there was anything political about what the IRS was doing. Nothing political about it. And now they're upset with the FBI. You know, I got to tell you, there's part of me that if all of this stuff, if the Vince Foster stuff actually turned out to be true today, and it wasn't, that was a lie. Yeah, my spidey sense would be going off that, yes, there's something going on at the FBI. But let's take Democrats at their word from Friday on James Comey. On Friday, Democrats said this is no big deal. James Comey is under an obligation to tell Congress when a situation has changed that he's become aware of after his testimony. That's what they said on Friday. Don't panic. Don't worry. It's no big deal. Only when Hillary Clinton's poll numbers started going down did the Democrats start panicking and blaming James Comey. But on Friday, they were still trying to stand with him, and now they're throwing him under the bus. In July, he was an American hero, a patriot, a hardworking FBI agent, and today he's some sort of traitor in the pocket of Vladimir Putin and Donald Trump trying to throw the election. The IRS, according to the Democrats, and there was nothing political about them targeting specifically conservative groups, particularly Tea Party groups, right before the election in 2010. Now, suddenly, the FBI's... This is what happens when you surrender your intellectual honesty. There have been plenty of examples this year on the Republican side, and here at the end, the American public is being treated to the fact that the Democrats... They've tried to claim high and mighty. They've tried to claim they're pure as the driven snow, but they're not. The Democrats, they didn't want to cry foul when the IRS was after Tea Party groups, but now they want to cry foul because James Comey had an obligation to tell Congress that they have new information from when he last gave his testimony. And they were willing to defend him until Hillary Clinton's poll numbers went down, and now suddenly he's a bad guy. Now the president has come out to attack him. Now the president has said, maybe we should question what James Comey's doing after defending him all these days until the poll numbers went down. They've claimed that they don't have these double standards. They've claimed that they're intellectually honest. But they're not. They've had a free ride this year, as the media has highlighted all these problems on the Republican side. And here at the end, they're being exposed. Hillary Clinton isn't likable. Nobody likes her. Democrats don't even like her. She's under investigation by the FBI. Anthony Weiner, well, I mean, yet again, Hillary's been tripped up by Weiner. Huma thinks she's above the law. Doug Band at the Clinton Foundation and Teneo thinks he's above the law. They're being exposed. Arrogant, aloof. They think the rules don't apply to them. All of the criticisms that they've now leveled at Donald Trump, well, they apply to them. I mean, I've said a lot this year that all of the things Republicans say about the Clintons tend to apply as well to Trump, and that's what's harmed his ability to make a case. But here at the end of the election, all of those criticisms about Trump that the Democrats have made, they apply to Hillary Clinton. And the whole world is seeing it. And they're seeing the intellectual dishonesty. The IRS, no problem. The FBI, oh, it's a problem. Either they're both a problem or none of them are a problem. I tend to think if the IRS was playing political gamesmanship, it would be a problem just like the IRS. It doesn't appear, though, that they are. It appears that, as the Democrats said on Friday, Comey's just following the law. The problem is, like in so many situations, the law just doesn't seem to be on Hillary Clinton's side. It's not that the law is bad. It's that Hillary Clinton is. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. 527 in the city. Some clouds. Going to start to cool off, finally. The phone number here, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Anthony Weiner is going into rehab or something. Did I hear that right? He's essentially trying to get out of going to jail. The grand jury is a grand jury. I shouldn't say the grand jury. A grand jury is looking into him. And you know who's getting all upset? So the 15-year-old he was sending the text messages to, the explicit messages. I can't bring myself to say sexting. Explicit text messages. I realize it takes longer to say that, but it just doesn't sound as just dirty. So the 15-year-old, she's upset with the FBI for not telling her that Hillary Clinton emails were discovered in the process of the Anthony Weiner situation. Why is that a news story, number one? But why does it matter? Who cares? The Clinton emails didn't involve her. I mean, this situation, the grand jury was already looking at it before they found the Clinton emails, and she's all upset about it. I mean, people just, they want to feel involved and implicated, and I have no idea. Okay, when we come back, the state of play in campaign 2016 as we get into the final 7 days has rapidly changed. A lot of people who were saying Trump had no path to victory suddenly are saying he may. I'll tell you where the states are starting to fall apart for the Clinton campaign when we come back. It is Eric Erickson here, News 95.5 AM 750 WSB 539. So before I go anywhere else, I'm getting emails from some folks. So why is the Obama administration, they're coming out now and they're telling James Comey, essentially, you shouldn't have done this because you didn't have complete data. But why are they being so guarded when so many other Democrats are blasting him and calling for him to be fired? Why isn't the president threatening to fire? Well, there are a couple of reasons here that are serious reasons if you're a Democrat. One, if the president begins blasting James Comey as incompetent, well, the president nominated him. So that would call into question Barack Obama's judgment. So he's not going to do that. But there's a bigger issue. My buddy Sean Davis at The Federalist pointed this out the other day. We know now Loretta Lynch is involved in this. She has a conflict of interest. She steered the investigation in Hillary Clinton's favor. She ran interference for Hillary Clinton. She is biased in this situation. The assistant attorney general is biased in this situation. The assistant attorney general, he can't objectively make determinations on the situation anymore because of the assistant attorney general's role. James Comey's number two at the FBI received money from his wife received money from Terry McAuliffe. She's a Democrat running for the state Senate in Virginia. She received a ton of money from Terry McAuliffe while her husband was looking into one of the Clinton investigations, conflict of interest. He's had to recuse himself now. Another Justice Department official, turns out, is best friends with John Podesta. So the only person in the entire apparatus of the Justice Department who doesn't have a substantive conflict of interest is James Comey. That's it. So what would happen legally if the President of the United States told him he needed to recuse himself? What would happen legally if the President of the United States pushed hard on James Comey to walk it back, pushed hard on James Comey to change his mind, and Comey didn't want to? What legally would have to happen? Well, if the Attorney General has a conflict of interest, and the Deputy Attorney General has a conflict of interest, and the Justice Department official who directly oversees the FBI has a conflict of interest, and the number two person at the FBI has a conflict of interest, and the only person who doesn't have a conflict of interest is James Comey, the head of the FBI. Well, guess what happens according to the law? Independent special prosecutor picked by, drumroll please, James Comey himself. That's right. Loretta Lynch wouldn't be able to pick the special prosecutor. The number two at the Justice Department wouldn't be able to pick the special prosecutor. The Deputy Assistant Attorney General in charge of the FBI wouldn't be able to pick the special prosecutor. The number two guy at the FBI wouldn't be able to pick the special prosecutor. Man, say that five times fast. Blah. Only James Comey could pick the special prosecutor, and he did that during the Bush administration. If you will recall, it was James Comey who picked Fitzgerald, the special prosecutor who looked into the Scooter Libby stuff and the Valerie Plame leaks. It was James Comey who appointed that person because everybody else had a conflict of interest. The precedent has been established. The law is there. He would have to do it. So if the president pushes hard on Comey, all Comey has to do is pull the trigger on a special prosecutor. And that is the Democrats' worst nightmare. Because right now they peddle this fiction that the Obama administration is the cleanest administration, the purest administration, the least corrupt administration in American history. The only reason they can say that is because there haven't been special prosecutors looking into the FBI investigations, looking into the IRS situation, looking into the Clinton emails, looking into the Clinton Foundation, looking into all the Obama ties and all of these things. Looking into Tony Redsco. Yes. That's the reason they can claim this, because of no special prosecutors. And if the president pushes too hard on Comey, suddenly he's got a special prosecutor, even while he's on his way out the door. That's why he's being careful. So let's look at the polling real quick. Pennsylvania still appears to be secure for Hillary Clinton, but her numbers there are beginning to plummet. Same in Virginia and in North Carolina. North Carolina now looks like, if you were to force the election to be held today, that Donald Trump would suddenly win North Carolina, when all of the polling trends have said that Hillary Clinton would be winning North Carolina. Same in Florida. There's a hang up for the Trump voters in Florida, though, in that it looks like 23% of Republicans are voting for Hillary Clinton in Florida. Colorado, though, seems like it could begin to be breaking down the Clinton firewall. Clinton has a surplus on the Electoral College right now. If the election were held and you forced every state, absolutely forced every state to go Clinton or Trump based on polling, she would have 272 Electoral College votes. She only needs 270. We have 7 days left in this election, though. And because we have 7 days left in this election, the polling continues to change. And I got to note one thing. Trump has kept his mouth shut. I didn't believe it was possible. I mean, I feel like Kellyanne Conway must be running around behind him with a tranquilizer dart and an elephant gun. Because you know he wants to say something, but he's kept his mouth shut. And the media, because he's kept a low profile, he's doing what Paul Manafort was suggesting he do back in June. The media has nothing to focus on other than Anthony Weiner, Huma Abedin, and Hillary Clinton. And they're focusing on it. They're desperate to trot out something relating to Donald Trump, but they haven't got a thing on him now. Will something else? They keep saying something's coming, but nothing's come yet. People aren't going to vote on rumors of something coming. They want to actually see what's there, and there's nothing there right now. And so the momentum has decidedly shifted away from Hillary Clinton. There is one caveat in all the data, though. 25 million people have already voted. But as Sean Trindy at Real Clear Politics points out, you can't use early voting numbers to determine the election. Never have been able to, not going to be able to this year, even if the trends are in one direction or another. So this is still a race. Welcome back. It is Eric Erickson here. It is 5:55 p.m. Y'all, I want to spend time in the next hour on some local issues, including Amendment 1. There's a growing pessimism among supporters of Amendment 1 that it's not going to succeed at the ballot. In fact, the Cherokee County Republican Party has come out united against it. They passed a resolution in opposition to it. They don't want a state takeover of schools. Now, I voted it. I cast my absentee ballot, and I voted for Amendments 1, 2, and 4 and against Amendment 3. And I support it, but the odds of it passing, they don't look good. The major promoter of it is an outside organization that's been spending tens of thousands of dollars on advertising. There's a story from the AJC that they've actually yanked their ads, scaled back across the state. They're focused only on Metro Atlanta media markets now, and they've scaled back the ad buys in the Metro Atlanta market. Polling is suggesting voters, they either don't understand it, or those that do understand it, they don't like it. Now, I really am struck, and I don't mean this critically because I do mean it critically. I don't mean for them to have their feelings hurt, though, but I've got friends who have helped on the campaign side of this, and I never quite understood how they were campaigning for it. But I want to talk about that. However, the big news, though, Phillips Arena looks like it may be renovated, and don't believe what the mayor is telling you. Welcome to the second hour here, Eric Erickson on News 95.5 AM 750 WSB. The phone number 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. It is 609. Let's get into this news story. Well, you know, let me stop, actually. Let me set this up for you better. So WSB has done a story on Mayor Kasim Reed and his rides around town and the police cars and the blue lights and his life may be threatened. And I don't want to downplay threats having been through them all this year, but is it all the time? He's calling the story frivolous, but, you know, Mayor Reed tends to call things frivolous that he doesn't like and he doesn't want to deal with, whether they're frivolous or not. Whether or not he's abusing Atlanta taxpayer dollars with these police escorts and not. Or look at the streetcar of no desire. Nobody is riding the streetcar. And if you listen to Kasim Reed, he lies through his teeth and claims that everybody wants to get on the streetcar. That the streetcar is the greatest thing since even before sliced bread. Now, for those of you out of town, you're watching on Facebook Live, whatnot, Atlanta has built a streetcar downtown. And it goes from around Centennial Olympic Park to Auburn Avenue. It goes where no one wants to go unless they want to buy drugs or get mugged. That's just the reality of it. So they were given rides away for free. Now they're charging. And when they had free rides, some people were going. But when they started charging like a dollar, people stopped riding. You had all these little hipsters set up shops because, it's a streetcar. It's public transportation. Atlanta's finally coming. And all those little pop-up shops are closed down now. So you got this situation. You got the streetcar. You got the mayor running around town with the blue lights on. And now, after losing the Braves and building now the Falcons, a new stadium with a bunch of taxpayer dollars, he wants to renovate Phillips Arena. The Atlanta Hawks, this is according to the Atlanta Business Journal, the Atlanta Hawks reached an agreement with the city of Atlanta to launch a nearly $193 million renovation of Phillips Arena and keep the team playing there for decades. The city is going to put up $142.5 million. The Hawks, They're only going to put up 50. But wait. Kasim Reed, who's on his way out the door and won't be held liable when the chickens come home to roost. Atlanta says they're going to fund the project with the extension of the car rental tax. They put a tax on people who rent cars at Hartsfield and elsewhere, generating $110 million. And then the city's going to commit another $12.5 million towards the renovations with proceeds from the sale of Turner Field. Now, here's the catch from the Atlanta Business Chronicle. That leaves a $21 million shortfall that the city's going to be on the hook for. Where's the city going to get the money? Now, the mayor, who's the reporter here? Douglas Sams. I saw him on Twitter. Kasim Reed, who blocks me on Twitter, by the way. Kasim Reed does. But I could see the exchange. Someone linked to Doug Sams' Twitter page. You can go in when you're not logged into Twitter and see the back and forth there. He points out there's this $21 million shortfall. It's a legit shortfall, and the mayor is claiming nonsense. Oh, there's no shortfall, and they're going to sell off city property. That's his grand scheme. The mayor claims they're going to sell off city property. Now, he's going to be long gone by the time the bill comes due. He's going to leave taxpayers on the hook for $21 million for the Hawks, plus how many hundreds of millions for the Falcons stadium. I mean, you can't believe a word the man says. Between the streetcar and now the Falcon Stadium, I mean, how long before Atlanta is going to need a state bailout because of Kasim's finances? Just unreal. Yeah, buddy of mine just texted me, how soon until he runs for president? 4 years! I just, Kasim actually allegedly does want to run for higher office. And I suspect he wants to run for governor of Georgia. I really do believe he wants to do that. He may be burning bridges with Governor Deal, though. They've had a very close relationship, but now he's come out against the Opportunity Schools District. Although I can't imagine he would come out aggressively against it without talking to Deal first. Atlanta's going to have a bailout when 5 years after Kasim Reed leaves. Between the Falcons and the Hawks, and do you really think they're going to get that much money for the Braves team? I don't know. Now, speaking of the Opportunity Schools District, the consensus opinion is it's going to fail. Look, I'm friends with the people who have supported this effort and run the political campaign, but I think they didn't do a great job of it. I mean, I'm completely unaware of the job that they did. I had offered earlier in the year to help, never heard anything, and everything I've told you about has been on my own research, looking to it. I support it. I think it's a good idea to try it at least, but it doesn't look like the votes are there, and the outside group the governor was depending upon to try to get over the finish line doesn't look like they're going to get over the finish line. And the governor's upset about it, but you've got Republicans coming out on it. And I continue to encounter, in fact, it happened yesterday. Again, anecdotes, not data, but at some point you get so many of these, it starts to become data. The number of Republicans who are refusing to help because the governor's veto of RFRA and campus carry. In fact, yesterday I was talking to a pastor who insisted he's not going to do anything to help the governor with the governor's agenda because the governor's not going to help Christians in Georgia. I mean, that's problematic. And, you know, this goes back to the Kasim Reed stuff and the Hawks stadium. Atlanta has two SPLOST measures on the ballot. One for regular transportation infrastructure and one specifically dedicated to expanding MARTA. So before the vote is taken on this, the mayor of Atlanta goes out and says, hey, I think we want to spend $100-some-odd million renovating Phillips Arena. So they're going to sell properties to fix up Phillips Arena, but they can't sell properties to expand MARTA. They've got to raise your taxes. Poor timing, if you ask me, for the mayor to come out and do this. In the same way, I think the governor didn't realize that how angry people really would be over campus carry and RFRA. I mean, I said this would happen. I mean, this isn't an I told you so. It was patently obvious at the time this was going to happen. Republican voters desperately wanted RFRA. The governor said he would sign it if we got the federal language. They passed the federal language, and then the governor still vetoed it. having said he would sign if they gave it to him. People are angry. So they're not helping him with Opportunity Schools districts. I mean, honestly, he kind of has himself to blame for this. And then the folks who went out and tried to run the campaign for it, not very successful in their campaigning. I mean, I don't watch a lot of TV these days. When I watch TV, it's on iTunes, it's on Netflix, it's not on traditional television. But I do pay attention when there's a football game on and stuff. I haven't seen any ads for the Opportunity School Districts. I got a mail piece today supporting Amendment 2, the human trafficking issue. And I did vote yes on Amendment 2, but I haven't gotten anything in the mail on Amendment 1. I don't know what the game plan was to try to get it passed. Bizarre. We got some folks who want to talk about Opportunity School Districts and others. The phone number is 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. We'll start taking phone calls when we come back. It's 25 after the hour in Atlanta and nice out. And temperatures look like they're going to start cooling down. Okay, let's go back to the phones, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. I want to go first to Teresa in Cartersville. Welcome to the program.
Hello, Mr. Erickson. I just want to let you know, a couple of shows ago, I guess a week or so ago, you had mentioned about the Opportunity School, and you had said, well, you want another alternative.
Yes,
you
know, please.
Okay, here we go. I've been teaching for 20 years, okay? I taught in Cobb County for most of the time. I now teach Bartow County because this is where I live. And we were a national blue ribbon school, and we were Title I school, and this is what we did, is the teachers that were failing and the students that were failing, we mentored them. We worked with them. We stayed after school, and we helped them. We found out, we built relationships with them and their parents. We found out, you know, is their parents divorced? Are they, you know, low income? You know, are they Hispanic? Whatever. And this is my solution, is you find the best teachers in Georgia to come into these schools that are failing, and they have to do professional development anyway, but you could give them a stipend. They come in the evenings, they build relationships with these teachers and their parents and the students, and they give them strategies. They find out, hey, why are they failing? And they help them, and they work with them together. Our schools are not a business, and that's what happens with our health care. When the government got involved and these outside people got involved, look what happened to our health care. I'm telling you, there's a lot of teachers out there that are very dedicated, that come in early, stay late, and they do whatever they can to get these kids to do well, not only on tests, but get them ready for
the future. Teresa, you know? Let me ask you a question, and I don't mean to put you on the spot. I've only got about a minute here. But do you find as well that as a teacher for 20 years, you carry a lot of baggage unfairly because in many cases you're dealing with broken homes and hungry kids, and it's all on you that they're not failing when really there are so many external factors?
Well, you know, that's a great point. And let me tell you, this is what I did again at my other school. We had a lot of Hispanics in our school. I brought the parents in. Once a month, we gave them a breakfast. We brought them in and we said, look, this is a village. We got to do this together. And we showed them, hey, this is what your kids are doing. We got to help them. So we also gave, you know, the responsibility to the kids. You got to give them ownership. Kids want to have that ownership, and parents want to feel like that they have a part to play. But they think, well, I'll just send them off to school and the teacher, that's their job. Well, no, it's because we only have them for a short
Teresa,
time.
Teresa, listen, you know? I appreciate that. I got to let you go there. Tell me I've got about 15 seconds, but thank you. And yeah, I appreciate everything you're doing in schools. And good at that, Teresa has just given the best alternative to Opportunity Schools District. In 3 weeks of talking about it, she wins. I'm back. Welcome, 6:39 here at WSB. I just so happen to be Eric Erickson. The phone number, 404-872-0750, 1-800-WSB-TALK. Nancy in Norcross, you're next. Welcome.
How are you, Eric?
I'm well. How about yourself?
Doing well, but my mind is going back in these way too warm days to the very cold days of 2014 when we won't get into how badly the city of Atlanta managed quarter inch of snow we had.
Yes.
And it was entirely their fault. I want to inform all our northern friends, we can handle snow better than that. There's a long story behind why it was so poorly handled.
Right. But it's just our government can't handle it.
Oh, yeah. Well, they wouldn't even let the snow trucks go out until after
right.
it was already falling, by which time, of course, it was too late. But at any rate, so get me started on that. But I remember the mayor had this important white tie dinner he had to go to. So everybody else is out here freezing to death in their cars, able to go exactly nowhere, while his honor is driving in the emergency lane of the expressway with his escort and his lights and sirens. Ladies on the expressway having babies in their cars.
Yep.
He was even interviewed on MSNBC. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and he went up, what, he used,
or something.
Used the police escort to drive him up to the Weather Channel and to a TV station to do PR, while meanwhile the governor bunkered down at the Capitol and wouldn't leave and wouldn't let reporters come. He made him use the political reporters who were down at the Capitol.
And people were begging the police and emergency personnel to come out and help them get off the roads and help them get home and get this lady to the hospital. No, we're busy. We have to escort his honor.
Right, his honor. Yes, I'm so glad, Nancy, you reminded me that. Yes, that's absolutely right. Kasim is just a rule of law unto himself.
Well, he's majesty, you know. So. Yep.
Well, guess if you're on Twitter, he's going to block you. So.
All right.
Thank you, Nancy. I appreciate it.
So we wouldn't forget. All right.
Have a good night. Yes, he wanted to go do a TV interview with the Weather Channel. And instead of staying at City Hall and using, like, the little TV studio thingy they got at City Hall, he decided to have a police escort up the emergency lanes to the Weather Channel office. Yes, my goodness. Scott in Augusta, you are next. Welcome.
Hey, Eric. How you doing?
I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm fine. Fine. I just want to make a comment about the Amendment 1, the Education Amendment.
Right.
You had talked me into voting for it, and I ran into a friend of mine who enlightened me that the governor and the board he appoints would be the body that would make the decision of the qualifications for school to come under that program.
Mm-hmm.
And I voted against it because, you know, feeling betrayed, I didn't want to give him that authority or anybody else, really.
No, I get that, and that's one of the concerns. Yeah. Although so when you pass a constitutional amendment, there's an underlying law that it ratifies when the constitutional amendment passes. And so we already know that how this thing would be structured. And in particular, one of the things that the law would do is it would actually put parents directly in charge of the schools. So you wouldn't have a bunch of bureaucrats in Atlanta actually running the school. You'd actually have the parents.
I understand that. But the measurement, the bars, the hurdles that a school would come under to be placed under, and I know it's a failing school. That's pretty obvious. I'm sure it's not any schools that wouldn't be, cut and dry a failure.
Yeah, it'd be based on the federal test standards.
Yeah, but if you lose someone's trust in one area when they've betrayed you and with RFRA and with
that's the carry, big argument.
That's. I'm through with it.
And yeah, and you know, Scott, the Republicans I've talked to who say this about the Governor Riffer, a lot of them are jumping to the next step that, you know, all the newspapers are telling us that within the next 8 years or so, George is going to go Democrat. Do we want to give the governor this much power to know that Democrats are going to have it in 8 years?
Well, right. Well, I'll move to Texas then. But
we all need to move to Texas.
But, you know, he's going to. Wind up going out the way he came in, being booed at the Republican state convention.
Probably. The RFRA and the campus carry. Look, I got to let you go there because I got to check traffic, but thanks. Yeah, a RFRA and campus carry. He should have thought twice before vetoing those, I guess. I thought of it again the other day when, I guess, Duke was playing Georgia Tech, and I saw the police escorts blocking traffic, getting the Duke team, I guess, back to the airport. And then Evelyn and I, we were going to the Adele concert. We got off at Lenox Road, and suddenly the police are blocking traffic everywhere. And here come these buses. And I thought, wait, I just saw the Duke team and all their buses headed down to the airport. How did they turn around and get back up here and realize they were pulling into the Ritz, and it wasn't Duke at this time. It was the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers jumped off the bus, and there he was wearing a gray jacket, which is kind of funny. All righty, let's go back to the phones. Kelly, you are up next. Welcome.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Well, I think I might have got my answer, but I wanted to do the write-in also for Evan McMullen.
Mm-hmm.
But on his website, it says make sure to write in Nathan Johnson as the VP candidate. So that kind of threw me off. And
yeah, so my understanding of this in Georgia is that because he's a qualified write-in candidate, that means that his ticket has qualified. So if you just write in Evan McMullen, that's considered a vote for him and Mindy Finn as well.
Okay, because I didn't know who Nathan Johnson. So do you get a separate write-in? Ballot or
no. So what happens is I filled in my absentee ballot and wrote in McMullen yesterday, and there's the little blank you fill in the bubble at write-in, and you just write his name, Evan McMullen. If you actually go on election day and use the electronic machines, when you touch write-in, it pops up a keyboard, and you just use the keyboard to type his name.
Okay, cool.
Yep.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Have a good night. Right. Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how many votes McMullen actually is able to pull off here in Georgia and elsewhere. And the Trump campaign now is sending surrogates fast and furious to Utah. They're getting very nervous that McMullen might actually be able to win Utah. I don't know that it's possible, but the Trump campaign, they're starting to get concerned about it. Now, it wouldn't hurt or help Hillary Clinton if McMullen won there, because she's not going to win Utah, so it's not going to add anything to her Electoral College column. But it would be a pretty terrible indictment if the Republicans can't win the one state of the union that's never voted for a Democrat for president. Welcome back. It is 6:55 in Atlanta. All righty, let's see. What do we have here? Oh, gosh. Rick and Tucker, you know what? I've got less than a minute, but I want to get you on.
Okay, Governor Deal is brilliant with this amendment to take over the schools. All these people that are whining about Amendment 1 are thinking about their own schools, which are probably good. But there are several schools, and I have worked in them, where it is just abhorrent, and there is no way that anybody can learn in a school like that. And the people in the neighborhood keep voting over the same people that are just useless, worse than useless. So what Governor Deal is doing is a fantastic opportunity for people in the failing schools, not the people in the good schools. If your school's fine, but the failing schools really desperately need help, and this amendment can
Rick,
get
that is well said. The best summation of the situation. You guys have a good night. Vote yes on Amendment 1.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.